Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid. Drinkers, what's going on, everybody? Drink it in real quick.
Drink it in, man.
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Make it a double.
Cornbread!
I'm your host, Derek Oakley, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. And as you guys know, it's my favorite week of the year, my favorite event of the sporting calendar, and that's the NFL Draft. Just days away here in Detroit. I know a lot of you loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers have been hitting me up, letting me know you're going to be down there, telling me what's going down. You know I'm going to be here in the DTO scouting office with all my magnet boards and lists and spreadsheets and data and all the stuff we do. We'll be having fun with that, making our live picks just like Brad Holmes will be doing in the draft room with Dan Freaky Campbell. And me and Choppy Chop will be on the mics live as it all goes down is the game plan. Chops is currently traveling on business, so I told him I'd hit a little bit of a solo show here and get you guys hyped up. And then Thursday and Friday, the plan is for us to be doing some content. We don't know how quickly we'll be able to turn it around because we're basically going to hit record at 8 o'clock when the draft goes live, a little bit before, talk about the picks, talk about what the Lions need to do, make our real picks, and then we'll try to turn that around and get that out so you guys can hear some of that raw audio. None of this waiting weeks and weeks until we see what happens and then giving our opinions, or waiting years later and say, I told you so. You hear it as it happened, and we'll try to do that again. And it should be real fun. Looking forward to it. You know, life is crazy for everybody, so we're doing the best we can, but cannot be more excited for this draft, for the city of Detroit. All of you fans out there that are going to go down and enjoy it, all the ones like me and others that love to just watch it, experience it, do our thing. So I've got some news and notes, some things that have been happening, some rumor innuendo. I've got the Oakley big board that I want to talk about a little bit of where that's at. If you're not on the DKC Google sheet that we sent out to a lot of you that have been loyal listeners for a long time. Let's talk about the Lions depth chart a little bit. I know Brad Holmes says he doesn't use the depth chart, just best player, you know, yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't buy it, but, you know, he does tremendous in the draft, but we do need to look at this depth chart a little bit and see where our holes are, see where we can beef up this team to hopefully win a Super Bowl in 2024, 2025 here. And then I'm going to do the Oakley first round full mock, which is where I've just been sort of piecing together what I think might happen. Again, I know we're mostly focused on the Lions, but with that first round, you really do kind of want to guess and see where players might go, dictate who might be there for the Lions and what you might do at that point. So let's not mess around. Let's just get right into it. So some things that are going on with the football team here recently, James Houston coming back off an injury, had a lot of sacks in his rookie year, didn't see much of him last year, and come on, Craig! Those two guys jumped out at me as returning on kind of restricted tenders, so it's nice to have those guys back on decent deals. Houston actually, you know, got drafted, then I think he got cut, then he got re-signed and tendered, and then he balled out, and then they had to, lots of weird things going on with that contract. So glad that they were able to get something done with him. I didn't see the exact length or dollars on it, but it sounds like he's back for at least a year or two at minimum, and that's a good thing for this football team. The hope is he can come back, show that same juice, get after the quarterback, help the team. A lot of the things you guys want to hear about it are rumor innuendo, trades, all the things going on with the Lions and other teams. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen come draft day. I mean, it is funny. Like, we can only consume what we can consume, right? So it's like you're listening to pods, you're reading up on stuff, you've got these player prospects, you know their backgrounds, you know, however deep you want to dive into it, you can. But the NFL teams have such a different approach. We also can look at, you can look at trade charts, you can do whatever you want, but it's very hard to marry up trades and whatnot. But some things I've heard about the Lions are, you know, could they trade down with the Las Vegas Raiders, where the Raiders come up and take our pick at 29? We get, like, gosh, what was it? It was like 44 and a pick in the third round, like in the 60s. Would that be good value? There's been a lot of talk about Washington Commanders wanting to move around based on the type of draft capital they have and wanting to beef up their team, whether it be quarterback, some different positions that they're trying to handle. Like, if they take that quarterback high, you know, then they're trying to support him with playmakers. So that could be another trade down scenario for the Lions if they want to give up that pick at 29 and drop back. There's also a scenario I saw and heard about that was the Lions jumping up to number 15 with Indy, possibly taking Quinion Mitchell or one of the pass rushers at that point. You know, I think there you had to give up your second round plus 29 to make that jump all the way up to 15. I mean, to me, a lot of those are interesting. I guess my philosophy has always been to stick and pick or trade back more so than to jump up the way Brad Holmes has been known to do, because he knows who he loves and loves who he knows, and that's all good. You know, he's been hitting on those, so no big issues. I just think when you get in the mode of coming up is when, like, in a few years you're sitting there in a draft going, we've got, like, no picks in the top three rounds, you know, like he was over there in LA. So you got to be a little bit careful with some of that. Sometimes it is more prudent and important just to stay there, take the best guy with your pick, or if you wait on your pick and you don't love somebody the way he loves somebody, you can drop back and acquire future picks, whether in that draft or future drafts. I mean, a lot of times people just think, just give up next year's second. What's the big difference? Well, the difference is a second round pick's really valuable, whether it's this year, next year, whenever. So you just don't throw these away. Some of the radio people and things you hear on there where they're just like, oh, you know, who cares? I'm just going to go up and get my guy. I mean, just give him our first rounder next year. I mean, come on. Like, you know that's not what you should do, right?
Okay, Kool-Aid drinker and, you know, cornbread muffin and all that.
You know what I'm talking about. But, you know, you have to understand the value of these picks, whether it be now or later. And just because you want to go up and get a guy, or, oh, I don't love all these players, so I'll just, you know, throw away picks in the mid rounds or the late. It's just like, all these are very valuable because they're 4 or 5 round contracts on no money for young football players that can help your team, your depth. You could take some big swings in the later round and maybe hit an absolute, you know, I know swings is a sport we shall not speak of here on the show. So you could just take some bigger risks, let's put it that way, and maybe just get some dynamic players on nothing contracts in the 5th, 6th, 7th round. So I'm more of a proponent of getting more opportunities to draft rather than packaging opportunities to go up and get a player. But I also subscribe to the Lions are in a window, whether Brad Holmes wants to admit it or not. You were one game away from the Super Bowl. You should have won that football game. There's no reason that you can't beef up a couple spots and be really dominant, both on offense and defense, and we always have a solid special teams. We'll see if that's more important now based on the rule changes or not. You guys have always heard me say it's kind of a joke that they have made that seem like the biggest aspect of football, when for the last at least handful of years, it's just been kickoffs out of the end zone and a few punt returns here or there. And of course, you have to cover kicks. We get that. But I don't think it's that impactful part of the game. It might be now with these changes and some of the things they're trying to do to put all those plays back into the game and whatnot. But I feel confident in that area with this team as well. So, you know, I don't know what the Lions are going to do. I don't think it comes into play very much. If, like, oh, you have to make a pick because there's people watching and they're down. I mean, do you think people are really going to be that upset if you make some great trade back and they don't see a pick live on a Thursday which the player isn't going to be there anyway to walk across the stage. Or I don't get what people are so excited about, what they want to see. I think people would be more excited to know they got four picks on a Friday, where it's rounds 2 and 3, and you're going to get a bunch of good football players rather than one guy at 29 just because you were there in person. I don't get that at all. So I think Brad Holmes will just do whatever's best, and he should. The other thing that's not being talked about a lot is, let's say you don't love the people at 29, maybe you don't love this draft so much, would I be open to the Lions trading that pick, other picks, whatever, for a established player? Like, I don't know, Lattimore from the Saints, CB1, I mean, that interests me quite a bit. The only thing that is another factor is always the contract. You know, he makes a lot of money. Kind of deserves a lot of money because he's a ball player. It's not a random risk on a young cat that you hope works out. But, you know, I know they're trying to save money and be careful because they... It's odd they haven't done any extensions. You know, I'm very... I'm not nervous because I know what a great player Amon-Ra is for the Detroit Lions, but $25-30 million a year, that's a lot. And I obviously don't want the guy going anywhere, but that's just a lot of money for a wide receiver. You know, $40-50 million per, that's a, you know, $15-20 million bump up for hashtag golf train. I mean, so you're doing that and you're taking on a contract like Lattimore, and plus you got Penne and Hutch and all these guys coming down the pike that you got to take care of. I mean, it is going to be crazy to see how they put that puzzle together. So that intrigues me more, of getting a player of Lattimore's caliber at corner rather than taking a young cat. It's just, if I have to, you know, weigh the things, it's like Lattimore makes, what, 20-some million per, probably in that range, 15 to 20-ish. And a rookie at 29, even if he's a roll of the dice, you know, if you take Kool-Aid, Tampa, my boy Mikey Sam are still, they're going to cost you like $3 million or something in that range per year on a 4-year deal. So that's where the difference comes in, and that's where you got to make that decision of what's worth it, what's not, in regards to spending. You know, we'll see what they do. I do think Brad Holmes is a little bit of showmanship, a little bit of alpha moxie in him, where he's like, it's in Detroit. We got a hell of a football team. I can be aggressive. I can make a big splash, have everybody talking about us on this stage for this weekend. I do think that could come into play a bit for him, but not in the sense that he's going to make a bad move, just that he might have a couple things cooking and be like, hey, I feel comfortable with this. This is going to get everybody hype, and this is the time to do it for this football team. It's not like this is the first year of the regime and he makes some crazy big move for one player that doesn't do anything for us in the record book. Like a big move, whether a trade for a vet, a trade up for a player, a swap that just gets us crazy draft capital. Like all that to me is in play with Brad Holmes, because this is his stage this weekend in Detroit with everybody watching, and with us being, you know, one of the top few hottest teams in the National Football League. There's nobody that is more going to be more feared and more exciting to watch in 2024 than the Detroit Lions. So there's all that. Before I get going on the Oakley Big Board and the depth chart, just again a reminder that we will be doing the DKC Detroit Kool-Aid Cast Draft Spectacular, which I mentioned earlier, which will be me and Chops for hours and hours recording. We're not going to do it live. I know a lot of you guys are like, hey, why don't you get on YouTube? It's just like, I apologize, but you know, some of our setups as well as just our time constraints don't make it as easy to just be jumping on, and we always want to try to be consistent, give you guys a consistent show with quality as well as you know, timeliness and whatnot. So we just haven't dipped our toe too much into the YouTubes, the live streaming end. So you won't be able to watch it live, but the hope is that we'll do all this recording, either chop it up into a couple sections or just put it up. And I know the last couple years of that we've done it, I mean, you're getting like an hour, two and a half hours of audio content of live draft takes and opinions and picks, and we even found ways to sort of drop the audio in the background so we can put it up and down when picks are coming in. We'll try to do all that, make it sound as good as we can, and do the best we can with the limited resources we have and time that we have. But looking forward to that. I also want to promote, which we haven't done much yet or recently, is that Kool-Aid hotline. I mean, 989-272-3484. That number is always out there, and this is the time to use it in draft season, where you can call up, leave a take, rant and rave, leave a live pick, praise what the Lions are doing, hate on what the Lions are doing. Like, it's just open for anything you want to do, and it's a line where you can call, you can leave a voicemail. We may pick up live calls if people dial us in when we're recording. We also, you can text in if you just have a take and you're like, man, I don't want to call or leave a message, but I want to get this to the fellas. We're always checking the texts, and a lot of you guys do that, where you send in little messages here or there, and we try to either read those, share those, or put them on the show. You know, we'll try to give you shout outs for sure. So make sure you hit that up again, 989-272, Kevin Smith, Herman Moore, 3484 there at the end. So do that up. And yeah, that's kind of what I got. You know, nothing else really big happening with the team, but let's dive into this Oakry big board. So again, a lot of you guys know that we just kind of went out of the box this year and shared the 2024 NFL draft and free agency Oakry and Shops Google Sheet, which is just a crazy amount of data that we've just compiled. Some we keep up to date, some is just out there to be looked at and to be aware of. You know, it's got everything from rookie age charts to RAS scores to big boards to positional rankings, live draft. What do you even call it? It's not like a spreadsheet, but it's a live draft tab where we'll be keeping up all the picks as they happen. We've got team needs. We've got free agent lists. We've got our live picks going all the way back to like 08. So that's out there. And like I said, we just kind of shared it with everybody again this year. We've been a little selective in past years, and we also are thinking in the future that we may tighten it up even more and maybe do some fun things with it. But we're asking if anybody else wants to be on it that we didn't give initial access to, just either leave us a review on iTunes and send that to me. You can find me at Derek Oakrie. That's DerekOkrie on the old Twitter X machine. Or what was the other one? I said leave us a review, or we have what's called listener support, which we always love it when people love our show, love what we're doing, love the time we put into this thing. And you can give us like $1.99, $4.99, $9.99, however much you want, to help us support the show, get equipment, keep this thing rolling. That's always much, much appreciated. So that's out there as well. If you want to do the listener support, that'll get you access to this Google Sheet. And like I said, maybe in the future it may be a paid element or something that we expand on. But right now it's just a lot of data, a lot of things out there. And if you're sitting at home and you got the TV screens up, why not get a computer right next to you and have this up as we go? So with all that being said, let me just rumble through the Oakry. This is the Oakry Lions Big Board, which is guys that I have somewhat targeted, players that are somewhat realistic for the Lions. You know, we're not going to rank 1 to Z because we know the top 15, 20 are basically completely off the board. Now, I am going to put a few names on here that are probably not going to happen, but they're a little bit more realistic, so I at least want to have them in my stack. Again, I'm just going to rumble through these and give you guys sort of quick takes. So it starts out with Quinyon Mitchell up top. You got Fuaga, the OT. Again, he'll probably be gone. Jared Verse, probably be gone, but maybe not. Edge rusher from Florida State. JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson. Futanu, the guard tackle from Washington. Terrion Arnold. Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. My boy, Johnny Newton. Cooper DeJean. Byron Murphy, Kool-Aid, my boy McKinstry, that would be big for the pod if they end up drafting him. More about that later. TJ Tampa, Mikey Samberstill, Ladd McConkey, Darius Robinson, Brandon Fisk, Nate Wiggins, A.D. Mitchell, Enos Regstraw, Chris Braswell at 20. you know, it just works its way down. You know, I got Zach Frazier at 22, Jonah Ellis at 23, my boy Xavier Leggett at 24. Who else we got here? Kyrie Jackson, if you want like a 6'3" corner at 28. Keon Coleman has dropped down my list a bit to 30. Who else is interesting on here? Junior Colston has jumped up on my list, even though the Lions don't really need an inside green dot linebacker. He's at 37 on my big board. Gosh, you know, people like Brendan Rice kind of rounded out at 45 is kind of where I have it stacked. And then I have lots of players down the list that are kind of spread out just at their positions or in general areas that I'll resort kind of as we go and get those rolling. So that's kind of a feel of some of the players that I both have circled, targeted, highlighted, whatever it may be, whatever order you want to put them in. The nice part about the Google Sheet is you can see the Oakley list, and then right to the right is the Choppy list. So we have a little bit of that going where we've got both our target lists, totally different rankings. Fun to look at the differences there for sure. Let's, before we take our great commercial break, let's get into this Lions depth chart real quick. So again, you know you can go on Our Lads or ESPN or CBS or whatever website you use and see their in-depth, but who really cares about some of these names that are way buried on the depth chart, or practice squad players, or special teamers? Let's talk about the main players and how I have them stacked on my general depth chart board here to give me a quick view of who's there. So quarterback, you got Goff, and my boy, H2O, Hendon Hooker, at quarterback. Running back, you got Demo. That's for you, Choppy Chop. It's Demo. Not, what do you say here on the show? D-Money! And you got my boy, who's a multidimensional, positionless. Wait for it. Elite! Weapon. Jahmyr Gibbs. Then I got a little bit of a hole at the RB3, you know? That's, they could add there, they could not. You got, come on, Craig! At like RB4, and then like at RB5-6-ish, maybe even a practice squad player, I do have Bam Knight, just because I kind of liked his talent. Got hurt last year, didn't get to show much. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra, a.k.a. ARSB. You got our boy J-Mo at WR2 now. I got a little bit of a gap there, a little bit of a hole maybe needs to be filled at WR3 with Josh Reynolds, a.k.a. the Serpent of Death leaving the Lions. Wide receiver 4, DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Khalif Raymond, Raymond Khalif, and Antoine Green after that. Moving over to the tight ends, we got Sammy Biscuits, Sam Laporta. We got a hole there at TE2. Yeah, I know Brock Wright can block, but I got him at TE4. We got my boy James Mitchell, who I love, who hasn't done damn thing in the league yet, except catch a couple two-yard touchdowns here and there. But he got him at TE3. Shane Zylstra coming in at the back end of the tight ends, but he can do some things if he's healthy again. So could they add there? They could. I don't think it's a screaming need. Moving over to the offensive tackles, you got Taylor Decker and Penne. Then you got a bunch of nothing except our boy Dan Skipper, always reliable, always eligible there as a backup swing tackle if needed, or possible tight end if needed. you've got interior offensive lineman Frank Ragnow, Kevin Zeitler, Graham Glasgow. You know, everybody knows interior. If you can get an interior guard that can also play center, that'd be a nice find for the Lions. But we also did invest in Colby Sorsdahl last year. They see him as an interior player, but he has played some tackles, so hopefully he continues to develop. Moving over to the defense, you got Aiden Hutchinson, my boy Josh Pascal. You know, then I got a little bit of a gap there because, again, everyone's talking about, like, oh, get a guy opposite of Hutch. It's like, yeah, but Pascal, Houston, Davenport, you know, kicking some other guys inside, outside could do it. But, yeah, I mean, edge, another edge player would be nice if the right guy's there at the right price. So I do have a hole there that they are probably looking to fill. interior defensive tackles, you've seen a lot of things about, you know, us maybe adding there, and I'm always a proponent too to add my boy Johnny Newton or other players, but you got Aleem the Dream, aka Honey Bun, aka Buttercup, aka Twinkle Toes, aka Plump, aka so many other things. We got our boy DJ Reader in there. We got John Kaminsky, who still has a horrible nickname that makes no sense. We've got Big Damn Levi Onwuzurike. I'm telling you, like, I keep seeing him. He looks more and more yoked every time I see him. He's got his hair braided up rather than that terrible haircut he had the last couple years. I could see this guy splashing a little bit this year if he gets some snaps and he's healthy. You got our boy Broderick Martin, the big fella, at the bottom, but could do some things. I don't know why they continue to say he's not ready. Like, why is he not ready? Get ready and start making plays, you know, is what I would say. We've got linebackers of Alex Anzalone, a.k.a. Fabio. We got who's now my boy because I love him off the field and he plays with reckless abandon, and that's Jack Campbell, a.k.a. Reward. We've got Derek Barnes, horrible spelling on the first name, but a player that seems to be coming into his own, number 55. We've got Jerm, JRM, Jalen Reeves-Maybin back on a very nice contract. Hopefully we'll do more of the rundown on kicks. I like the player, I like the person, but it seemed like a bit of an overpay, but he's there as depth linebacker. And you got our boy Rodrigo. That's the live version, by the way. I can't get to the sound drop right now. Got him in there, still in the mix as well. I know some people talked about trading. You know, I'll give it to you. Rodrigo! That was the sound drop. Rodrigo! That was the live version. But I see him sort of sticking around, being a nice depth culture player. Moving over to the corners, you got Carlton Davis. I mean, you guys know about Carlton Davis, right? Like, I'm looking. I don't know that I have it. I don't think I have it. I don't have the soundboard up with the Carlton Davis drop, but you guys know what it is. You're doing the dance at home, right? The Carlton is CB1 right now. You do kind of have a gap there as, like, who's the outside CB2, or could they get a better player and they be CB1, Carlton Davis CB2, Amik Robertson coming in there, but you got to factor my boy, Brian Branch, because, I mean, I don't know how you slot him, but speaking of slotting him, he's slot CB1, he's safety baller, he's do everything blitzer, he's tremendous, so he's in that mix, his corner, slot, nickel, you know, chess piece, everything you want to call him, love this guy on every level. Emmanuel Mosley, you know, hurt, but some potential. You got Kendall Vildor out there as well, that they brought back. So that's kind of where the corners, you know, got a couple spots open at corner. Could they double dip in the draft? Maybe. Could they take one and then maybe look to get a vet after? I think that would be plausible. Safeties, you got our boy Kerbo. You got Iffy, who really came into his own late in the year. Then I got a couple open spots if they want to add ball players either there or after the draft or with undrafted players. You got the kid Brandon Joseph from Notre Dame who had some upside. They got his undrafted free agent. He's down on the depth chart, but he is there at safety for now. We'll see how that shakes out. Your specialist again, Jack Fox, as well as Michael Badgley at kicker, you know, and we got our long snapper as well. So that's kind of how the depth chart shakes out. That's where some of the openings that I see. And it'd be very interesting to see how the Lions, you know, address those, how they approach those, how they feel in regards to those holes, or are they just trying to, again, we just get the best football players. Well, everybody that has a brain knows that means at positions you need football players, because getting the best player doesn't ever match up really with, you know, who you actually need or what makes sense. So you have to do both. And I wish people would be more, you know, open and honest with that rather than being like this randomness of just, we just take the best player any spot, doesn't matter. We don't look at that kind of stuff. You have to look at that kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm not going to go on a big rant. I've already went about 25, 30 minutes, I think, here in the first segment. But let's get our great sponsors in. Again, I just appreciate all the Reality Sports Online, Spotify's. We got PFF All 22 out there, promo code DKC. We've got my guy Bryce Johnson down there with Fantasy Football Fellowship, melding faith and fantasy football to help connect people both on a personal level, but also connect them with the Lord as well, which is awesome. You guys have seen me putting out more tweets, more content about my faith, because that's just super important to me, and I always want to share that. I know that might not be, you know, the favorite of some listening, but I also think it's really important to me, and it's really just so impactful in the lives of so many that I don't want to hide that, you know, just because we're talking ball, or just because you don't want to divide the audience or say anything that you shouldn't, that's split people up. Like, I want to bring people together, and I think that's what the Lord does, and that's what your faith does. So that's why I put that out there, and that's why that's so important piece of my life, and becoming bigger and bigger by the day. And gosh, again, just all the great sponsors you hear on our commercials, if you listen to those, if you go check them out, it really helps the show. If you do listener support, that really helps the show. If you call the hotline, that really helps the show. If you tell a friend, a family member, another Lions fan, and you got to check out the show, the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. It's kind of kooky. They play a lot of sound drops. They have takes. They have opinions. They don't do these structured shows that bore you to death. They try to come at you with just honest, live guys that love ball, that are friends, that enjoy doing this. And that's what we try to bring you every week. Cannot wait to do it for the draft with at Chops and the D. And all the other things we do here on the show. So that's what I got for the first segment. Check out our sponsors, please. That really helps. And when we come back, we'll go through the Oak Reef first round mock picks 1 to 32. We'll also talk more about what the Lions could, should, and would and will do, as well as so much more. So everybody, I'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, this goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You can put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. Kool-Aid drinkers, we're back. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Again, it may sound a little bit different because we have a couple different setups, whether it be my studio desktop type setup right now and over the weekend when we're doing these live as it happens, draft shows. I'll be on the wireless headset mic, so it's a little bit different sound. We're still trying to dial that in, both me and Chops, get it sound very consistent, very crispy for you, but got to do what we got to do so I can be mobile and talk to you, watch, work my draft boards, all that good stuff. So let me go ahead and cruise over to my draft board, by the way, and we'll do the Oakery first round mock. And this, you guys have seen so many of my mock drafts for the Lions, where I'm picking rounds 1 through 7. I'm always trying to give you guys some different combo meals to think of, different approaches. Am I trying to reinvent the wheel like some of these websites and people you see where they're just taking random people to get clicks, or, you know, people that are just going to shake you up? No, I tend to go more towards the names that we hear about, because the people that the NFL talk about, yeah, they're not right all the time, but they are talking to people. They do have more access than we do. So, yeah, of course, I'm going to focus on some of the main names that we hear throughout the process, and then at the end we're going to make our decision live as it happens. That's the only way you can do it on the draft. You can't predetermine, you can't get set, you can't get anchored, as Brad Holmes says. But let's get in this first round mock and just see how I have it going down. Again, the way I decided to do this, because some of these, you see people, they make like 4 or 5 different trades and they're moving teams all over the board. The way I did it, I'm going to give you the player that I think fits best based on the current draft order, and then I'll give you a few possible trade slots. You know, hey, this team might trade with this team, but I'm not going to actually do the trade because it's going to junk up all my other picks and just make it an absolute mess. So let's get into this. Chicago with the first pick. You guys know what it is, Caleb Williams. Go hit up our guy at Joey Sports Guy when that pick is made and just chant Jared Goff. You can call, what were they saying recently on the radio? You can text over to Joey Sports Guy Charmin Soft for what Caleb Williams is. You know, Chops is already on record saying this guy's going to be a bust. I know Joey thinks his team is rolling with wide receivers and playmakers and quarterback. It's like, psh, Chicago. Yeah, we'll see what they do. Win some games first, then we can talk. At 2 with Washington, you know, I've got them taking Jaden Daniels. I know there's been a lot of rumor innuendo that people are trying to trade for that pick. And I guess Washington came out and said, nope, we're just going to stick and pick, which seems weird to me. It seems like you would either just do that once the draft gets rolling, you're on the clock, or you would continue to, I mean, what are you going to say? We're going to stick and pick, and then you get some crazy offer and you're going to turn it down because you just decided you're going to make the selection. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But if they do make that pick at 2, I have them taking Jaden Daniels there. Again, you could see the Raiders try to jump up. You could see Denver try to jump up. But it sounds like they're going to stay and make that pick. At 3 is where I get a little unique with it. You know, the chalk pick is Drake May. You know, I have my boy, J.J. McCarthy, going to the New England Patriots. They do seem to be set on a quarterback. You know, I feel like J.J. has sort of been an enigma throughout the process. He's been overanalyzed. You guys heard my one critique on him is I don't know how his type of personality is going to flow in the NFL. Are people going to love it because he's all about ball and his teammates? Or are they going to think he's not that alpha dominant leader that goes out with the fellas and does this and that? Or he's just too nice? You know, I could see that being something that's said as well. But I got McCarthy going at 3 because the Patriots love players that, you know, are all about the team, don't say much. This kid can run, he can throw, he can operate your offense. If you want to just run it a million times like the Patriots have been known to do, he could do that. I just think he's almost a better talent than Drake May, and he's a better team competitor, where Drake May might be a better physical specimen, but he said some things that makes me wonder if he loves ball. Let's keep this moving. I can't spend forever, but JJ at 3 is the big one I got. At 4, if the Cardinals stay there, I have them taking Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, that could be a trade candidate. You know, again, same type of quarterback teams coming up there at 4. I could see them moving out, but kind of tough to move out if you really love a guy like Marvin Harrison. At 5, I got Fuaga, the big offensive tackle, going to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. 6 with the Giants, I've got my boy Malik Nabers, just electric talent. I just feel like everyone's totally written off Daniel Jones, and I didn't like him, then I liked him, and I realize he hasn't produced, but he's a, you could keep Daniel Jones, the other things they've done, you know, add some other playmakers and give it one more run and see what happens, and Malik Nabers is special, so I got him coming in there at 6. 7 with Tennessee, Joe Alt. And again, some of you wonder, why is Joe Alt not going to the Chargers? To me, they already got the left tackle, you know, and Joe Alt's never played right. So to me, I would go to a team like Tennessee, where it feels like they need a left tackle, pure left tackle, and they can move some of the other guys around to the right side on that team. So that's why I have that flip-flop that way. Pick number 8 for Atlanta. I've got Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, going there. 9, Chicago. Rome Odunze, everybody's favorite player in this draft, it feels like. I like him too, but, you know, Caleb Williams and Odunze, is that either going to be ultra dynamic for the Chicago Bears, or is that just going to be, again, adding toys and weapons rather than beefing up the O-line, the D-line, things like that that really help you win football games? At 10, we've got the New York Jets, who cater to Aaron Rodgers, that smug, pompous, arrogant, you know what. You know he's going to want a wide receiver or another weapon. So I got him taking Brock Bowers, the tight end. Pick 11, I've got Minnesota sitting there. That's where they get their quarterback again. What is it, Josh McCown, I think, is there, who was a previous coach or buddies or whatever with Drake May. So that just seems to make a lot of sense to have Drake May just go there at 11. Again, I could obviously see Minnesota jumping up to get their guy, but who from like 3 to 11 is going to take a QB necessarily? So if nobody jumps ahead of you, you could just stick there and get him maybe. Again, with the way I'm doing this, all these picks are sticking and picking. So it is what it is. At 12, Denver, you know, another quarterback spot. I the best match I see with Denver is like a Bo Nix type, but I feel like you could hold your water and maybe get him in round 2. So I say, you know, hang on there and don't take the quarterback, but I do have Bo Nix as a possibility at 12 if they're just that desperate. But I have them taking Graham Barton, the tackle guard center from Duke there, all the way up at 12. 13 with the Raiders. Again, all this rumor innuendo about them loving Michael Penix. I've got them taking Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State. At 14 with the New Orleans Saints, I've got them taking Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. 15, Indianapolis, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, the cornerback that the Lions hopefully have some interest in. 16, Seattle, they always like to take those big, nasty, you know, interior guys up front. So a lot of people have this player going up in the top 8 now. I have him going here at 16 in this mock based on team more so than like positions with trades. Byron Murphy the second from Texas, big interior penetrating defensive tackle. 17, Jacksonville, I've got Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama, going there. 18, Cincinnati, Troy Fatanu, interior offensive lineman, Washington. 19, the LA Rams will be looking to replace a player like Aaron Donald. This guy isn't Aaron Donald. No one's Aaron Donald. But he's a penetrating interior defensive tackle with some juice. And that's my boy Johnny Newton from Illinois. At 20 with Pittsburgh Steelers, we've got a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of hearsay that they are looking to maybe trade for Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk saying he wants to stay in San Francisco. San Francisco's GM saying, well, we just, like, we'll find a way. We've paid everybody, and we'll pay Brandon Ayuk. At some point, they're not going to be able to pay every player they have to keep them and pay them top dollars. So, you know, there is stuff about him maybe going to Pittsburgh based on that. So I don't have that happening necessarily, but I have them taking a guy that's similar, in my opinion, and that's Brian Thomas Jr. here at number 20. Pick 21. With the Miami Dolphins, I got them beefing up their O-line and taking a player like C.J. Latham from Alabama. 22, with the Philadelphia Eagles, I've got them taking what they always take, which is sort of like a talented, you know, athletic, height, weight, speed, whatever it may be, you know, more of a speed in this scenario. But they love taking, like, outside corners, wide receivers, offensive linemen, whatever it is. So I've got them taking Nate Wiggins as like the replacement for Slay and company on the outside for that team. Minnesota at 23. This is where I feel like they replace a player like Danielle Hunter, and they take a one-trick pony, a rush player, a physical specimen like Chop Robinson. Dallas Cowboys at 24. I wanted to give them Jonathan Brooks here, but I feel like maybe they can wait till round two and get a running back of some sort that can actually do some things rather than that stiff Zeke Elliott. And then for some reason they let Pollard walk just because he had one bad year. They're going to need to add somebody that can run the football. But here at 24, they get back to their roots and they take a dominant center, Jackson Powers Johnson, for the Dallas Cowboys at 25. For the Green Bay Packers, I've got a completely perfect Green Bay Packer type player. And that's Cooper DeJean, safety, corner, whatever you want to call him, from Iowa. 26, this is the pick a lot of you guys are probably thinking, well, I can't believe he's this low. Why, he's going to go way higher. He definitely could. But I just couldn't find a great spot for him, and he came in here with Tampa Bay here at 26 for me. And it's a guy the Lions could trade up for, especially if he starts sliding like this. But Jared Verse, I probably could have swapped him for a guy. I like him better than Chop Robinson. You know, I like him better than some of these other players that I have ahead of him. So that does seem a little bit low even to me. But I felt like he's the kind of player Tampa Bay usually gets to, those big edge rushers, guys that fall a good value. You know, they took my boy last year, the big interior player that I wanted for the Lions. So, you know, that's where I have him slotted, Arizona. Arizona took the wide out. Now they're going to come back and try to help their team, their offense, and take Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. I mean, again, this guy needs some development, but gosh, what a physical specimen. What a beast this guy was when I saw one of his interviews. If he could ever figure it all out and put it together, he could be dominant. Buffalo at 28. I've got them getting Zach Frazier, interior offensive lineman, center from West Virginia. That leaves the Lions at 29 with some interesting options, and I went through a lot of machinations, but again, I'm going to do it for the pod. I'm going to do it for the people. You guys know I got to get back to the thing. I got to hit the soundboard because it's always, we do this always for the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
So for the millions and millions of Kool-Aid drinkers out there, for the people that listen to this show, for the people that want the Lions to take a cornerback because they lost Cam Sutton and they can't cover a coffee table, give me Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, 6'1", 195 pounds. Can mirror, can get his hands on the football. He's got swagger. He can help you in the return game. He can, he's shown you he can cover and play the last couple years. Of course, his athleticism could be better. His overall play, tackling could be better at times, but he fits a big time need. He just has some things, and his name's Kool-Aid. His name is Kool-Aid McKinstry. So I've got to do that pick here at 29 based on need, talent, and I got to do it for the pod here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. So that's what it is. At pick 30 for Baltimore, we got my boy Mikey Sanders still. That just seems like a perfect Baltimore Raven to me. 31, I really am tempted to take this player for the Lions, but I couldn't go all in on offense. But he's so crispy clean, and he could be such a little dynamic, productive football player. Ladd McConkey going to the San Francisco 49ers at 31. They're going to be tough to deal with if they got Debo, McConkey, McCaffrey, Ayuk, Kittle. Oh, my goodness. And then you've got Kansas City, who, what do? All they take is offensive talent, wide receivers every single year. A.D. Mitchell. Again, A.D. Mitchell was, like, off my list. Then he was my boy. And now he's not so much my boy because I hear about these. He's got diabetes, he's not taking his meds, he doesn't work hard, he doesn't know his routes, he's not going to block. I mean, all these other things that come into play. So I've got A.D. Mitchell with the Chiefs just being like, whatever, he's super talented, we'll figure it out. And they will, he'll probably ball out for them. So that's my first round mock. Again, it could go so many different ways. There's so many issues with that where, trades and things are going to clunk it up. I think the made trade scenarios are 3 with New England, 4 with Arizona, 5 with the Chargers, possibly the Giants trading down. Atlanta could trade at 8. And then you have 15 with Indy. You have the Rams, you know, at 19 could be willing to deal. You could obviously, I mean, it's almost a given that Philadelphia isn't going to stay at 22 because they always, I think there was like a tweet, Howie Roseman is calling around about trade-ups. Like, yeah, water is wet, the sky is blue. I mean, this is all this guy does, call everybody about trades all the time, every year, and he always moves up the draft board for whoever he wants. And, like, we'll see what the Lions do. I mean, again, I think moving down would be a great decision. I'm not worried about the backlash or the poor us, we didn't get to see a guy's name called. I'd much rather have more picks and more ammo to be able to do things later in this draft. But that's how I have it going down. Fun exercise to go through all that and to sort of see how it marries up. You know, biggest thing, just bringing it back to the Lions. You guys heard a few shows ago, if you didn't, go check it out, where me and Chops broke down the player buckets, where I had corners, edges, interior defensive linemen, wideouts, and O-linemen kind of in buckets per round, and we talked about like 50-some players. That's the main board that I'll be working off. I think I'm going to be able to get at least through round 5 with these players that I have on this board, and there's so many nice options from rounds 2 to or from 1 to 7. I also have a miscellaneous column, which are players that don't fit those quote-unquote needs or buckets, but they are players that are still intriguing me. So just real quick, like for that first round, the guys that I have like a big star on, as kind of like, if these guys are still there with my star on them, those are going to be more priority than other positions. So Quinyon Mitchell, Latu, Newton, McConkey, Graham Barton are my 5 top stars right now. One at each of those positions that, you know, if one of those guys are there, it's going to kind of trump, you know, anything else that I would be staring at on the board at that point when it comes to 29. So, again, for me, it's going to be real fun this year. I feel like the DCO scouting office has never been more ready, never been more organized, never been more set. Again, I'm not the ultra analytics guy, but we will be tracking like positions of need. We have kind of broken these players up. And like I said, for me, the biggest thing I've done recently is just get rid of some of the clutter. Like I have all the players that aren't on my targeted list on another board. And sure, like I'm fine with all those guys going to other teams. But every time a player comes off my Lions board, it's tough, but it also will make it easier for me to see when it's time to pick of like, all right, who are these guys that I'm looking at? And like, it's been fun because I've been able to add a few players over the last few weeks since that podcast came out. Like, oh, let's put this guy in the 4th round bucket. Or, hey, I got to add this interior offensive lineman because he plays center and he might be a nice replacement for Ragnow when the time is right. Or, hey, this depth cornerback. Or, hey, let's get Braden McGregor on the list, edge rusher from Michigan there in round 5 or 6. As a intriguing option for the Lions. So all that has been totally fun. I also think that I just want everybody to totally enjoy it. It may be another 10, 20 years, however long, until this draft may ever come back, or if it ever does, to Detroit. So this is your one time to enjoy it in person if that's your game, if that's something you want to do. For me, I just can't wait till this thing kicks off. It's the ultimate reality show. The Lions are no doubt going to get better as a football team. The draft is like stealing too, because you already have your team. You already have added in free agency. So now you're just getting cheap, young, good football players that fit you, that you love, and you don't have to worry about paying, you know, the ultimate price or this huge contract too. You can just be like, we know this kid. We love this kid. He's there. Let's take him, bring him into our program, and just grow him up and see if he can be a superstar. So that's what I'm really excited about. That's why the draft is my favorite event of the year. It's so incredible. And like, oh, for me and Chops, like, despite our busyness and all the things going on in our different lives, like we both cannot wait to jump on the microphones, watch this draft go down, share it with you guys, talk about it. Again, hit us up on Twitter, on X, send me questions, give me takes, keep your eye out, because the plan is, like, you know, minutes before the Lions actually turn in their pick, you'll see a tweet with the 29th pick. Derek Oakley of the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast selects, and that'll be my live pick for the Lions. Again, not based on best player available or for in general, but for the Lions' current team. I'll get my pick. Chops will do the same, and we'll see how those shake out as the years go by. But everybody, NFL Draft is here. The Lions are one of the top teams in the National Football League. Cannot wait for it. Drink it in, everybody.
Drink it in, man.
Double side of cornbread.
Cornbread.
We'll catch you next time right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.